This is your KVNF Regional Newscast for Friday, August 7th. I'm Audra McCabe. Erie County is hosting a community meeting next week on recent flooding and debris slides caused by heavy rain. The meeting will be held on Tuesday, August 11th at 6 p.m. at the Erie Community Center. It'll focus on flooding, debris removal, economic impacts, and community resilience. The meeting will begin with a presentation from a panel of experts, followed by breakout stations where attendees can ask questions and speak with regional, state, and federal partners. The county says that community members are encouraged to attend to learn about ongoing recovery efforts and available resources. Sean Pond, a Montrose County commissioner, recently shared an image showing Democratic gubernatorial candidate Phil Weiser with devil horns on social media. Weiser is Jewish, and depictions of Jews with horns are widely recognized as a common form of anti-Semitic imagery. Kyle Clark, a Denver-based journalist, called out the post. Clark wrote that, quote, "Depicting Jewish people with horns is a centuries-old dehumanizing anti-Semitic trope. Democratic governor nominee Phil Weiser is outspoken about his mother's birth in a Nazi concentration camp, his family members killed in the Holocaust, and the threat posed by anti-Semitism today." Pond's post was highly critical of Weiser, stating that he has, quote, "spent nearly 8 years using the Attorney General's office to defend gun restrictions, obstruct federal immigration enforcement, protect the forced green energy transition, and file approximately 70 lawsuits against the Trump administration." GOP gubernatorial nominee Victor Marx replied to Pond's post, agreeing with the assertion that Weiser is a threat to Colorado. Marx is a self-described high-risk missionary and evangelist who has made questionable claims about having performed exorcisms by phone and having saved as many as 45,000 women and children from abusive situations. Pond doubled down in response to Clark, saying, "I had no idea Phil Weiser was Jewish. I portrayed a Democratic politician with devil horns because I believe his political agenda is dangerous for Colorado. His religion was never considered because I did not know it." Pond says that the two posts involving Kyle Clark and Phil Weiser alone generated 174,000 views and nearly 1,300 shares. He has since posted images of other Democratic politicians with devil horns and even facetiously added devil horns to his own profile picture. Marx, however, distanced himself from the post via a campaign rep in an email to Kyle Clark. Pond has also used the momentum to push his original message, calling on Republicans to stop attacking each other and present a united front against Phil Weiser. Notably, Pond lashed out against other Republicans earlier this year after he failed to receive enough support at the Republican Assembly to appear on the ballot in his bid for U.S. Senate. A federal judge has dismissed the U.S. Department of Justice's lawsuit against Colorado Secretary of State Jenna Griswold over her refusal to hand over sensitive voter information. The DOJ filed the lawsuit in December after Griswold rejected a request for unredacted voter data. That included birth dates, home addresses, and partial social security numbers. Griswold says the Trump administration has no legal right to the information. The DOJ cannot bring the same claims against her again because the case was dismissed with prejudice. The Gold Mountain fire has barely grown in 10 days. Containment, as of Thursday, stands at 89% of about 39,500 acres. Evacuation zones in Montrose and Gunnison counties are stepping down, and residents are heading home. But the national forest around the burn is still closed, because the fire operation isn't over, it's just changed jobs. For part two of our series on the Gold Mountain Fire, KVNF's Brody Wilson takes us into the fire perimeter to learn about the work still taking place.
The way that they've managed these incidents has changed a lot over the last several decades, but long after the smoke column is gone, there's still a lot of work being done.
If you live in the Uncompahgre Valley, you've spent much of this summer watching smoke rise off the Cimarron country, where many of us camp and hunt and cut our Christmas trees. A lot of us call it our church, our cathedral. Last week, the KVNF news team rode up Owl Creek Pass, and we were among the first back in the fire area. And I expected a moonscape, but it isn't one. The burn is spotty. One hillside blacked, the next one green. Mostly what I felt up there was relief. The voice you heard belongs to Brandon Hoagland, a lieutenant with South Metro Fire Rescue on the south side of Denver. This fire quit growing over the last couple of weeks, and yet the mountain is still full of people working. Brandon's assignment? A fire line his crews are here to erase.
It's about 1,000 feet of control line that was put in.
A bulldozer cut it during the fight. a strip wider than a two-lane road scraped down to bare dirt so the fire starves when it gets there. And it worked. The fire stopped at this point. Then the line became a wound in the forest.
Come in, smooth out, or kind of roughen up where the bulldozer put in containment line, and then to pull the brush back over it to help control erosion.
At least two crews and at least two visits. One crew dug it, another came back to put it away. And what put it away means isn't the operator's call. There's a specialist for that.
Yeah, the resource advisors, they usually have some kind of a background in biology or in environmental sciences, so they kind of help us decide what's going to be best for rehabbing the ground and keeping it from being a scar, minimizing the impact as much as possible.
Resource advisors write the spec for how the fire lines are to be restored, then they check the work. The Incident Command Zone report this week said that advisors were out confirming repairs were finished, quote, in a satisfactory manner. This is what's changed over Hoagland's time working wildfires. Repair has stopped being an afterthought. The same promise of restoration extends to private ground. The field near the turn to drive back Owl Creek was where crews for this division staged every morning, and it belongs to a local rancher and was used under an agreement. The fire pays for its time on the land, and before it leaves, it regrades the torn-up road, reseeds the pasture, regravels the driveway.
You know, Ridgeway's been a great host to us and put up with a large presence here for a long time.
All that work is to make the mountain and the forest whole again, but none of it makes the mountain safe. And safety is by far the top priority. We had to gear up in fireproof clothing and hard hats, and we weren't going anywhere near a flame. And our visit was highly coordinated within the chain of command.
Division Foxtrot, PIO Sweeney.
PIO Sweeney, Foxtrot, command, go ahead.
We're escorting two members of the media in my vehicle, a blue Ford Expedition, heading to Owl Creek Vista. Break.
I copy that, thank you.
The man who drove us through the burn said it plainly.
Yeah, my name's Kevin Sweeney. I'm the information officer with the Complex Incident Management Team that's here right now on the Gold Mountain Fire. Yeah, and a recently burned area is a dangerous place. And there's a dangerous place for a number of reasons. Flash flooding, like we've seen over the past few days. Hazard trees, weakened trees from the soil being burned near the tree and then getting moisture. So the tree might look healthy, but its root system might be damaged.
Picture a tree full of green needles, but with charcoal roots. You probably can't see that from the road, but a specialist can. And there's an order to what gets cleared first.
So the land managers for this area, the Forest Service, will come in. They'll remove hazard trees near the road. So once that's safe to do, they'll reopen the road. But they won't get to all of the hazard trees for the whole forest. They'll focus on the roads, then they'll focus on trails.
We were about halfway up Owl Creek, and we stopped to look at a particularly burned section of forest. And I got out and started toward the edge of a burn for a photo. And Sweeney stopped me. The snag ahead was flagged, and the flagging spells out killer tree. He wouldn't walk under it either.
I don't want to walk up in there. I got kids. So it literally says killer tree.
So picture this fall. The gates open and all of us head back up there to hunt and cut a Christmas tree and hike our favorite trail. But
on a windy day, if you're walking in areas where it's burned, look for those signs that maybe this isn't too safe and pay attention to that, you know, hair on the back of your neck, kind of feeling a little bit like maybe I should get out of here. Listen to that.
And if the road that you want to drive stays gated into this fall,
Forest Service might take their time in opening it up too. So respect that. Those closures aren't in place because we want to keep folks out of here. Well, they are in place because we want to keep folks out of here. It's not that we don't want them to enjoy their land. It's that there's some pretty serious hazards back here, and there's a reason that that area is closed.
That's where we are today. Evacuation zones are standing down and neighbors are starting to go home, but the forest above us is still closed because the work up there isn't finished.
The folks are still here working, even though there's not a lot of smoke in the air. So,
for KBNF News and Rocky Mountain Community Radio, I'm Brody Will.
That story was part of a KBNF series on the Gold Mountain Fire. Stay tuned in the coming days for more. That was your KBNF Regional Newscast for Friday, August 7th. I'm Audra McCabe.